Excellent. We have recording on. Excellent. Then we are able to proceed to the important part of the meeting, which is the main topic, reflections from the 2024 Trusted Learner Network on Conference and the Internet Identity Workshop that was last week. So whoever was there, I don't know if you do have an official speaker or representative of either of these two meetings. I know Simone was there, but he's still at customs, so maybe give him some time to gather himself, but anybody else is welcome to grab the mic. Simone, you're able to talk. Excellent.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm still on the road, in a sense, a trip that started at TLN. So I was there, and I'm happy to share a few of the highlights of the conference, at least for me. And then I see some familiar faces here, so I welcome anyone to jump in. First of all, I think TLN is an amazing opportunity to meet, particularly given the free for all format. So it's free to participate, and that made it possible for many people to attend. So very accessible. In terms of being, there is something that both TLN and the IIEW share, and it is the format, this open space technology format that TLN picked up from IIEW. And I know Kalia is on the call, and she definitely knows a thing or two about that. So that is something that the two events have in common. But speaking for the TLN, I believe the sessions really worked out, and there was a lot of participation. A couple of interesting topics that I've seen people suggest or call sessions for, where, well, one is the global micro-credentials mapping through data that Credential Engine is running. I've been personally involved in that, and so that sparked the interest of many folks from different sides of the ecosystem, both people that were interested on the semantics of it, so the technical aspects of how this data ecosystem schema mapper tool works and how the mapping was done, but also just more academics and stakeholders that had a different look and perspective into it. And so that feedback was great. Calling out that one of the interesting positive outcome from that session was just the connecting the dots between another initiatives that is approaching the same issue. So doing a mapping of existing data standards, I believe funded by Gates Foundation. It's a project called LIF, L-I-F. So that created that opportunity for discussion. The second session that I think was very interesting was around this an emergent initiative ran by the DCC, Digital Credential Consortium at MIT, and Credential Engine on trust registries. And I mentioned that because I know that at IIW, although I was not there this time, there has been certainly some additional conversations on trusted registries. So I do believe that that is an issue that we will continue to talk in the future, and that we're going to be happy to host here as well. So those are a couple of things that I'd like to call out, from TLN. But I'd like to stop here, maybe hand the floor to anyone else who was there who might want to share something else about TLN. So I'll just answer your question, Lilico, and then I'll hand it over to Dimitri. From academics is always very different. I mean, they are more interested in the instructional design piece or the accreditation of micro-credentials or the quality assurance aspect. So they are almost, opposite perspectives, but the, I guess the interest was high. So those conversations forked into separate threads that were picked up, I guess offline outside that session, but it clearly remarked the level of interest on micro-credentials and how it is still early days, and both the academics have their own set of issues as well as, I guess, the technical side of looking at how to, you know, be able to represent micro-credentials through data. So yeah, that's what I would say. And I'll hand over to Dimitri.
Thank you. Okay, so a couple of words about both TLN and the IAW conferences. So I was at both, greatly enjoyed both. Both were in the open space on conference format, which I feel really fits our space, our industry, really well. A couple of so first let's talk about TLN. So TLN talked about several of their focus. TLN and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce talked about several focus projects that they're going to be, well, focusing on this year and the next couple of years. One of them being efforts in combining a generative AI and verifiable credentials, specifically. And I think we're all interested in this, helping out learners and earners in knowing which credentials they're eligible for, and helping either compose them or, figure out where to get them, right? So it's guiding projects. But actually, I think, Phil or others can speak to that better. There was the unveiling and launch of the new version of the Arizona State Corner Pocket wallet, which is incidentally built on top of the DCC wallet code base. So there was a demo where the conference and demo attendees were able to download the wallet and receive a credential attesting that they saw the demo, right? And the other initiatives that Chamber of Commerce mentioned was a pilot for an open source app to create self-attested credentials, and more importantly, endorsements and recommendations of those credentials and with evidence. And then sort of building on that, the second project would be a resume author open source app, which is just, a basic pilot app that sort of demonstrates how you can put together a bunch of credentials sort of in a narrative format to compose what we normally think of as a resume. In terms of the sessions, both at TLN and IAW, that really caught my eye, I noticed there's more and more sort of discussion momentum on a handful of different topics. One of them is, of course, trust registries that Simone mentioned. I think as more teams either get experience with launching something related to verifiable credentials, or even just prepare for a pilot, right? Even prepare for development. I think teams immediately run into the sort of the main challenge that we have in the space, which is identity verification of the issuer, which is I hand you a credential, it's signed by a key or a DID. Who does that key or DID belong to? And so this notion, I know you've heard it before on these calls, and you're going to be hearing it much more in the coming sort of months and years. The notion of, hey, we need issuer registries. We need known issuer registries on the one side, and we need known verifier registries on the other side, is going to come up more and more. So the question that faces all of us is less whether we need them and more, number one, who is going to run them, who and what governance will those registries run under, and then, of course, secondarily, what technical formats will they be in. And there is at this point a handful of different specifications in progress. So as usual, things will shake out, consolidate to slightly smaller handful. But the principle behind them is the same, right? It's a text file or an API that somebody hosts that maps keys to known organizations and entities. So the basics don't really change. So there was a session on that at TLN, and there were multiple sessions on that at IAW. So that was topic one. Topic two, there's sort of increased momentum and interest in render method, both for generating PDFs, but especially for displaying credentials in a sort of reusable, deterministic way on various devices. And so we have the render method specification that's being incubated in the CCG. The European Union, the EU learning model, has their own render method. And just talking with Anthony Camilleri and earlier, Anthony mentioned that they're actually going to be changing the European learning model rendering specification slightly to work with the render method property that's in the verifiable credential data model. And then, so the Hyperledger Ares and DIDCOM community has their own sort of adopted version of displaying credentials and so on. So that work is proceeding. And then the third major topic that came up in both that I would like to highlight is the notion of, and again, this is going to sound familiar to all of you, but credential schemas, right? Once we have the infrastructure in place, we have the issuing software, we have the wallets, we have known verifier and issuer lists, everything is perfect. It's time to issue credentials. What schema are we going to use for those credentials? What schemas are known and accepted in US, in Canada? How do they interact with the European Union learning model? How do they interact with the schemas that are arising in Japan and other countries in Asia, for example? One of the things that amused me and sort of really impressed me at IW was Taiwan's Ministry of the Interior was there demoing their upcoming digital wallets and credential wallet projects. And so much like the national wallets in Europe and much like the DIA national wallet in Ukraine, it's going to be sort of a well-known wallet available to all the citizens where you can get diplomas and class credentials and pretty much anything else you can think of verifiable credential-wise. So as more and more projects start issuing these, this notion of, okay, I'm a developer team or I'm a project team and I'm about to start credentials. Literally, which schema should I use? On the one hand, and then on the verifier end. So I'm a human resource software provider or an applicant tracking software vendor or anything else that wants to receive and process those credentials. Which schemas are out there? Which ones are popular? Who is issuing which? And so on. So there's a lot of discussion of we need places like the credential engine registry, like the credential schema mapping exercise that Credential Engine is doing and collaborating on with MIT and many others. We need directories and mapping projects and so on. So we need more focus and intelligence in this particular space. And another development in that space was DIF, the Decentralized Identity Foundation, which is now the new director for that is our very own Kim Hamilton Duffy, who was previous, I think she was one of the co-chairs of this group, and in any case, is very active in our community. So now that Kim is the director of DIF, one of the focus projects, one of the initiatives that she's launching is, again, a credential schema list specification directory. So she's joining in, she and DIF is joining in several organizations that are going to be trying to make sense of this space just from a discovery and summary, if not even recommendation standpoint. So we look forward to that. Aha, founding co-chair, that's right. All right, so I'll stop there and let's see, hand it over to others on the queue. Colin, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for that overview, Dimitri. I think some of my takeaways might be from the more academic and assessment focused side, because all that technical stuff was definitely around. I was more involved in some of the project and assessment conversations. One of them that you mentioned was taking past learner experience and employment experience and turning that into some type of verified credential. That project is called Experience U, and that is working under the guise of the U.S. Chamber and the T3 Network, and runs right alongside the LER Resume Standard and the Linked Claims Project that you also mentioned. So we had some conversations about that, and there was a lot of interest in sort of the opening up sort of the aperture to projects that have an international lens. Simone is involved in one Experience U project that's focused on a refugee use case. But in all of these conversations, at least about the project implementation and starting to actually put digital credentials into wallets and users' hands to start taking across systems, was the assessment data that's connected to those credentials and the alignment of the skills and the skills statements that are connected to those assessments. So that part of my team from Education Design Lab was there, and they proposed a session around validation of skills, and they have some prototypes that came out of that conversation and have come out of a working group that they've been leading. So that was really interesting to have many more people in the room and participate in that conversation. Some of the prototypes that people are sharing around assessment of existing skills, whether they're hard skills or, you know, a specific technical role or industry, or the soft or durable skills. I think there's a growing interest in the durable skills conversation and how that is represented inside credentials. So I think that I just wanted to highlight that. And I saw the question about the academics. How did the academics respond to this? I think that's actually where we see kind of a hard line is coming out of higher education or continuing education. Academics feel very strongly about the way that their standards and assessment data is represented. And then employers on the other side, or any talent platform that's trying to make sense of digital credentials, ATSs, HRISs, they don't really know what to do still. So I think that was an interesting conversation that I know we're not talking about ASU GSV, but the technical side of things is one piece, but then actually kind of socializing this and getting existing systems to make sense of all this credential information is a separate one that we continue to have on at ASU GSV in San Diego and continue to work on. But I think the technical side and the assessment side were very much the focus at TLN. And I'll stop there and pass it. I think Nate had his name in the queue.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. and great comments. I also attended the TLNN conference. I was not lucky enough to be able to make it to IIW this half year. Hope to return to that at some point, as soon as possible in future cycles. But at TLN, it was a very exciting unconference, lots of great conversations. This was my first TLN that I had attended, and I went there with specific questions about, you know, what does the trust mean in Trusted Learner Network? And what are the projects going on where we can plug in around questions of trust? And I saw some really exciting things on that front, you know, particularly the demo of the ASU My Skills Pocket wallet app, that where we could download a test open badge credential that was issued by a TLN unconference issuer. And then when we shared to Verifier Plus from DCC through the My Skills Pocket share create URL feature there, the issuer was shown as verified within a particular trust registry, the DCC pilot registry. And this is, you know, baby steps, but it's like the very beginning of building out the right UX to help people understand where credentials are coming from. Elsewhere in the credentials ecosystem, there are many use cases where the issuer and the verifier are the same entity. And that's the easy mode of using verifiable credentials, because you don't have to answer these trust questions. But here in education, we have a desire for verifiers to accept credentials from issuers that they had never heard of before and still be able to try and make sense of the value. And that means we're going to need to go a lot farther on trust registries and getting the right trust information to the consumer user at the right time, and then in the UX that helps make that intelligible to them. So I was super excited to see these steps of multiple organizations coming together to place issuer identifiers onto registries that were in use by software, and we could actually pass that through. We also need to make some progress on displaying the verification status of individual holder recipient identity in the same way that we're making progress on displaying issuer identity. And so I'll be looking forward to that in future, you know, demos and product developments that we see also. I'll note one other thing about it. Besides, there were many great conversations, lots of recognition of one another within conversational settings, but we didn't actually do much credential issuing at all in the course of the conference, which, you know, that's the vast majority of all conferences that exist right now, even within our very specific little field about credentials. And I worry that we end up in situations where, you know, academics are talking to other academics about the thing we hope to do, or technologists are talking to other technologists about the software we hope to build for end users who are not us, but we're not actually doing the thing ourselves. And so this is something to watch, a trend to watch out for maybe. Maybe it's not yet a red flag or a sign of trouble, but if we're not representing our skills, connections, and learning in the spaces where we as mid-career professionals are extending ourselves and connecting with each other and making new learning, then I worry that the technology is not there yet, that we need to start doing that in order to be able to fulfill the vision of a lifelong learning recognition ecosystem that carries into that mid-career phase, as well as just the getting your first job story that we often tell about these things. Yeah, great conference. Thanks all. And I think, Simone, are you back up next on the queue again?
Yeah, thanks, Nate. Just to also mention that before TLN, the spring meeting of the T3 Innovation Network was held. It was another great signal, and certainly kudos to ASU for making space to bring the ecosystem together and making it convenient for people to join. As Colin mentioned, some of the key initiatives of T3 that were showcased and there are currently under development, you know, are things like ExperienceU, or the LER resume standards, and linked claims. In addition, something relatively new that was unveiled was this international, further international engagement from T3
I personally have been looking forward to this moment for a while as an international member of that network, since early on. And that opportunity might come in very soon. In fact, as an announcement, there is likely going to be a pre-conference workshop held at the Groningen Declaration Network, in short GDN, annual meeting in October, which is going to be held in San Diego, where, you know, this event typically draws a global audience, and it's been running. This network has been standing for more than 10 years now. And so given that the annual meeting is in the U.S., we want to make sure that all the key U.S. stakeholders are, you know, connected and plugged in into this global network, because the projects are very interesting and the issues are largely the same. So that is the opportunity. More on that to come, but certainly worth mentioning. It's been great to see a T3 grow and then do great in the U.S. But, you know, my personal view is that there is a lot of, you know, that could be shared, best practices, with counterparts outside of the U.S., particularly in Europe. I'll also mention that T3 is working on a very interesting new initiative called the Skill Stack. Effectively, these are skill saving accounts. And so without going into details, because the details are not hashed out yet, the notion of getting, I guess, money into a wallet that could be spent by citizens for upskilling purposes, and employers, you know, would put that money there. So we're bringing together skills as currency in a digital wallet, as well as dollars that could be spent in skills. So more on that to come. And I'll pass the floor on to Susan, I guess.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm Susan Stroud, and I am from Life Equipped. I had a chance to participate this year in IIW. And one of the things that struck me, I've had a chance to attend several of the other conferences held by the BC Ed kind of community, and I've really enjoyed attending those. I found IIW a little different in that it had the exact same, if not even more, sense of community. But it was folks from across different industries coming together in the sense of identity. So a lot of the talk was around, you know, collaboration across competitors, even in places we talked about schemas already, for example, in places where, you know, people are not competing and they have the same problems, and coming together to solve those problems with products that are either commercialized or starting to be commercialized at that identity layer. So it was really exciting to experience the community since at IIW, the range of topics from across industries, whether that be healthcare, education, fintech, and folks coming together in much the same way to see that collaboration. It was just refreshing and continuing to push the collective needle forward. So I just thought I'd share that. Thank you.
And thanks, Susan. And that you're mentioning collaboration, even of competitors, reminded me. So one of the things that really interested me in this IIW and several of the preceding ones is to keep an eye on. So what are the major mobile operating system vendors? What are Google, Apple, and Microsoft? What are they doing with credentials, right? Well, so we know Microsoft has invested a lot in issuance and verifying platforms. They have their Entra enterprise issuing thing and so on. But here's what's interesting. Here's why I bring it up. Well, one, Apple was there. Apple had at least two engineers presenting in the same sessions as Google about this identity credential API that I'll mention in a second, but it was just great to see Apple, Google, and Microsoft stand and present in the same conference on an API they're collaborating on. So that was good to see. But so the API that I'm about to mention is probably of interest to the technical implementers, but I think it's of interest to everybody in the sense that it's being built into mobile phones themselves, right? This is becoming mainstream. And so as those of you who've participated in JFF Plugfest or having done anything with verifiable credentials, you've seen that one of our challenges in terms of user-facing usability is, of course, wallet selection. Is I go to an issuer or I go to some portal to pick up a credential, how do I tell the issuer which wallet to put the credential in? Right. So we have, so far we've been sort of using the manual approach of, okay, well, you open up the wallet that you want and then you do something from within it, usually click a QR code. So we've seen that approach. We've seen the credential handler API wallet selector used for web wallets to great success. But the problem becomes even harder on the requesting side. So I go to a verifier and they say, show me your student ID. How do I, as the user, tell the verifier where that student ID is stored, which wallet, if I have multiple? So we got several problems. We've got a cognitive one. Do we expect users to remember where they put stuff? Like, for example, those of us who use two-factor authorization, you're familiar with the problem. There's usually multiple two-factor authorization apps, like there's Duo and Google Authenticator and Microsoft Authenticator and like a number of other things. And so when you go to GitHub or NPM or any number of places or Google, any number of places that require second factor authentication, and they're like, okay, now check your second factor authentication app and enter a code. And then you as the user are trying to feverishly remember, okay, which one of the four or five authenticator apps that I have, which one was this particular website? And you literally, I end up going through each one of them, in order until I find the site that was registered with them. So it's an awful user experience. And second factor authentication is used fairly rarely, but it's the same problem and exact same bad UI for verifiable credentials. Do we expect users to remember where they put the credential in the first place? And the answer is hopefully no. And that's the approach that Google, Apple, and Microsoft, and FIDO Alliance and the rest have taken. They looked at this usability problem and said, okay, yeah, we do not want users to have to remember which wallets they put stuff in. That's what the computer is for. That's what the operating system is for. So the identity credential API, that is currently in the works, it's being incubated by the WICG working group at W3C. That's WICG. And it's actually launched in Chrome Canary and Google Android. So you could test it out right now, as well as other browsers. But so their approach is this. Wallets register with the operating system and say, these are the kind of credentials that I have, that I can handle. And these are the credentials that I have right now. And when a user comes to the verifier says, show me your student ID, the browser makes a simple JavaScript query. For example, give me credentials of type student ID. And the operating system looks in its registry and says, okay, which wallets have registered with me? Ah, okay, here are the three wallets that currently have a student ID. And the operating system, right in the browser, presents a user-friendly credential picker. It says, okay, I have one credential in the ASU wallet, I have another one in LCW, I have a third one in the Microsoft wallet, whatever. And the user... user picks, selects the credential they want to present, and only then does the operating system actually invoke that wallet. So opens the wallet app, allows the user to go through whatever authentication steps, whatever is workflows that the wallet usually asks. And of course, confirmation, right? The wallet must say, okay, that website is requesting a student credential. do you actually want to give it to them? So all of that good stuff. But the point is, the operating system vendors, the mobile OS vendors and the desktop OS vendors are taking on the burden, the cognitive burden of wallet selection. Except they're not doing it as wallet selection. They're skipping ahead. They're doing it even finer grained to credential selection so that the user doesn't need to know where they put it. They just know what all of the credentials are available across all of the apps in their system and they just go there. Now, since this is a new API, it's still being developed, still being demoed. And by the way, they demoed cross credential selection and exchange across operating systems. They demoed this Bluetooth bridge between Apple and Android. It was really cool. So something to watch out for in the coming months and years. But since this is a new API, it only works with mobile apps for the moment. However, they're very aware that same API, they'll also need to support web wallets. And they'll need to support the provisioning side of things, right? The API right now only asks verifiers to request an already existing credential that's already in the wallets. And the question is, well, how did it get there, right? What about the issuance side? And that part isn't covered yet. So on the issuance side, we still have the current wallet selection problem of user needs to figure out where to put the credential. Okay, that was a lot, but basically, Google, Apple, and Microsoft are very aware of the credential space and are working on a credential selection API that enables a plurality of wallets to exist and to bloom. So keep an eye out for that. All right, who's up next, if anyone? Okay. Anyone else have questions, thoughts, port outs?
Dimitri, this is Simone. I wonder if either Deb from Credential Engine or Carrie from MIT BCC want to tease just the upcoming work on registry that they foresee, just as a teaser.
Oh, great point.
I'm going to yield to Carrie.
You can go ahead, Deb, but I'm happy to go if you want me.
Well, let me just give a very high level. You can fill in more, and then I can fill in after that if necessary. So Credential Engine and DCC are going to be collaborating on work with regard to trust registries and definition of, as you pointed out, Nate, what does trust actually mean and how can structured data help support that? And that work will span about a year's time through like Q1 or Q2 of next year. Carrie, let me let you fill in more about what that actually means.
Sure. I'll take it from here. And actually, I was just going to say, I was typing right when you started talking. Simone, that recap that you put by trust over IP, anybody else has recaps like that about trust registries specifically? That would be very helpful. So what we're exploring over the next year, once we get started, we haven't started yet, is what is needed by trust registries specifically for learning and employment records? And I'm certain that what we'll learn will apply to other spaces as well, including, you know, other types of identity. But that's our main focus. And that may be exactly what Dimitri said, which is, you know, how do you trust that the identity of the issuer? Well, it could extend into other things that may not be part of the scope of what we do, but it could be things like, is this issuer, have they been assessed, right? Have they been accredited? Do they have approval to issue this credential on behalf of another? Like, there's a lot of nuances in learning and employment records that we're going to explore. But the first thing we're going to do is really research all of the existing registries that are in the world, some that are considered trust registries, some that are considered other types of you know, registries where there's governance involved, and certainly capture as much of that as we can. So that'll be a big part of it. And the next part would be starting to explore all the technical options for hosting these registries, the ones that exist now and the ones we could try. And then we'll probably stand up some, we'll stand up some registries, as example ones so that others have ones to, evaluate and build upon and try and do for themselves. And we're going to do this in a very public way with the whole community. Like Credential Engine is really very good at running these open communities. So everybody will be invited, and we'll be asking lots of questions with your help. And really the thinking also from my perspective anyway, is that this is like foundational applied research, right? We need to set some kind of like foundation to do further research. And that's why the time frame is short. So we could do this pretty quickly, and then like others can start building upon this going forward. Deb, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, thank you so much, Carrie. I don't want to not seem excited about this because at Credential Engine, we're very excited about this. It's just a little early because we haven't really defined fully the scope and the process yet. But let me just reiterate that this is going to be very open work, and we're going to be encouraging all of you to help us work through it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Great. So more on that to come.
Yeah, go ahead, Talia.
There was a gentleman who was at IIW from Department of Homeland Security. Actually, there was more than one, but everybody's familiar with, well, if you were at IIW, it's very hard to miss Kenneth Gant, who's there from OBIM, but there was another gentleman there who was much quieter, and he's actually looking for researchers at U.S. universities who could come in. Like, basically, they have some sort of program where researchers basically put their university work on hold for 1 to 4 years and go into the government and do research. And he's looking for people who might fit this qualification. He's having a lot of trouble finding U.S. citizen people at kind of tier one universities who might fit this bill. So it seemed like it made sense to raise this here in case anybody thought of anyone that might. What kind of research? It wasn't, I didn't actually talk to him directly. Lucy talked to him. It's not clear. I feel like I should go get more links to what he was talking about. Yeah, I'll go get more data. I was like, I teach a community college. I'm about to be a U.S. citizen. No, that wasn't good enough. Anyways.
Great. I'm actually, I want to pick on Sharon's question around like the registries face off and if we were to do a rematch. I'm thinking we might want to invite the people that call that session and discuss it here in this very community call and hear from them what the outcomes of that session was, how can that inform the new work by Credential Engine and DCC. It feels like, all right, great, thank you. Yeah, that's kind of a note for self.
Like, there's kind of two, I think there's, you know, I'm seeing this challenge a little bit more at IIW. It's like the people who have quietly done hard work for a long time don't get up and sort of yell about it, or not yell, but sort of speak really loud and fast about it. And some people who say stuff a lot are seen as doing work they may not have actually done that doesn't actually solve a problem. So anyways, just put that out there that, there's froth in the registry space. Let's just say that.
Definitely. But I really like the idea of,
reaching out to the conveners of the session to come present here about their findings. And in general, we should do a preliminary overview of both some of the organizations that are running registries and, of course, the technical specifications. All right. Any other questions before we adjourn? Yeah, that's a good point. Susan mentions that OWF is going to be one of the players, hopefully in the registry space. All right. If there are no more questions, thank you, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you in other calls. Thanks, all.